Our message today will talk about an individual by the name of Caleb. Caleb. I have a son named Caleb. It'd been nice if he's able to be here to hear this message, but he's traveling. He's in church in another state this morning. But have you heard of Caleb in the Bible? Now, to tell you about Caleb in the Bible, I need to share a little bit of history, because I can't assume that you know about Caleb and who he is. See, Caleb goes back to an Israelite. But what is an Israelite? And where does that come from? Would you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 15? I want to share a passage of scripture that some of you may be aware of, but some may not. I can't assume that you're aware of it. But this lays out a covenant with Abram. And this is kind of the, not exactly the beginning of the story, but lays the context of the story as we talk about Caleb. So at this time in Genesis chapter 15, we're going to speak about a time when Abram, before he was named Abraham, and this will be up on the screen, Genesis 15, 5. And in this story, it's when God is talking to him. And he tells them in verse 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it accounted it to him for righteousness. And he there is Abraham. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. He's in Canaan now. Now I will say to you, this is, when we say Canaan, this is where all the things are going on with Israel. This is where Israel's at. This is back of time of Abram, before he was called Abraham by God. Verse 8, and he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Verse 9, so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old male goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, I want you to listen to this prophecy. Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Verse 14. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between these pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenazites, the Gadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And I didn't say parasites. So Abram was in Canaan. And he says he's promising this land. Now, as we research this history and we tell you this history, it might think you give you some background in current events, but he says they will be in a land that they're a stranger 400 years. What is he talking about? Well, one of Abraham's son was Isaac. And one of Isaac's son was Jacob. And what name did God give Jacob? Israel. Israel. The word Israel comes from the name that God gave Jacob. And so the descendants of Israel, the man named Israel, the sons of Israel, are Israelites. Now Jacob and his sons, they lived in Canaan. And there was a great famine. And I could fill you in on the history, and in some of our other sessions, we're filling you in on Bible study. What happens? Because they're saved from this great famine by going into Egypt, because their brother Joseph, one of the sons of Israel, is there. And it saves them. And things are going well. But they're in Egypt. Now, if we skip over some of the details, and there's a lot there, this family group was less than 100 people. You might find in Scripture, at certain places, it's 70 or 75. But they were there in Egypt and protected, doing well. But then there became a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, because as that generation grew off, and that Pharaoh that did not grow Joseph, they started to afflict the Israelites as they grew in size. Remember, they were less than 100, and they grew in size, but then they were slaves. They were slaves, and the prophecy said that they would go back after 400 years to the land that God had promised Abraham, back to Canaan. They would go back, but that the Amorites' iniquity was not complete. So God took, while they're under this captivity, this 100. Another, they became under slavery. And the Amorites' evil lifted. But God was going to use his people, the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, to judge those people. And as you might recall, that came to the point, then you have probably heard of the name of someone by the name of Moses. And Moses was to lead them out. And Moses led them out of the captivity of Egypt. And when he led them out, there was, Scripture tells us in Exodus 12:37, just so you know there's a reference, you don't have to turn there, there were 600,000 men. Remember I told you they were less than 100, the whole group? But now there's 600,000 men. The estimates are, if you include the women and children, you're talking 2 to 3 million people. 2 to 3 million people. Remember, Abram had been promised a multitude would come from him. So we have 2 to 3 million people going back to Canaan to possess that land on the promise of God. So Moses leaves them out. They're grouped by tribes, and the tribes are basically by each of the alignment of the sons of Jacob, the descendants of each of the sons of Jacob form these tribes. And then as they come near to Canaan, to cross over it, to take possession of that which God had promised them. I read one commentary to say that these 2 to 3 million people was more than the inhabitants of Canaan. We enter and find out about Caleb. We're in Numbers 13. Now, in the first parts of number 13, you're going to find that each tribe was supposed to have a representative, and they're going to send them in as spies. They're going to scope out the land, if you were to read Numbers 13. And they're going to find out that they're big, they're small, what the land's like. They're sending these tribes in to check it out. And Caleb represents the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah. And what is he going to have them check out? Let's just read a little bit. Numbers 13. Verse 17, then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak or few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests, there are not, be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. They're spying out the land and finding out about the land and about the people and what's going on, because God has sent them to take that land. God has given them that land. It was promised to them through Abraham. So verse 21, they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. They went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ashman, Shishal, Talmah. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol. There cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Can you imagine a cluster of grapes that required it to be carried between two people on a pole? Maybe you've heard those were the grapes of Eshcol. The Valley of Eshcol. This is the promised land that God had promised Abram. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. 40 days they spied to figure out what's going on. They're going all over the place to find out what was going on, and they're expected to bring back a report. And when they come back, they're asked, what is the report? What is taking place? And they say, in verse 27, the spies respond. Then they told them and said, we went to a land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. It's a good place. There's milk and honey there. This would be great. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants of the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their own sight, and so we were in their sight." They gave a bad report. Caleb says, "We can conquer this." And then they complained. "The Lord brought us all the way from Egypt. He brought us out here that we can become victims," it would say. "And we'd be better back in Egypt in bondage." They saw one obstacle. You might say, well, it's a great obstacle. They had these giants, but they had 2 to 3 million people. Commentary told me that it was greater than the inhabitants count. But they were fearful. They want to select a leader and go back to Egypt. Back to bondage. Back to what it was. It was bad. Verse 6 of chapter 14. But Joshua, remember Joshua fit the battle of Jericho? Joshua was going to be a leader. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." All the congregation said, "Just stone them with stones." Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. They're like, God is with us, and if God is with us, he will give it to us. But they were fearful of what was before them. God wanted to give them a blessing, and they got stuck in their fear. They let their fear undermine their faith. And they only looked at what was before them through their own inabilities, their own lack of confidence. They let the fear undermine their faith for God. Because God says, "I want to give this to you. I want you to go in," and they rebelled. And they demonstrated their lack of faith in God. Not only were they disobedient to God, they demonstrated a lack of faith in God in all the things that he had done for them. In all the past that they looked through, how he brought them out of Egypt, how he provided for them manna on a daily basis. He provided for them food as they went. And yet, they come to this next challenge, and they question God. Have you forgotten all that God has brought you through? And now he wants to give you a blessing, and it might have some challenges, but you want to draw back because you're fearful of what might happen. You're afraid that you can't do it. I'm incapable of that, and you allow that to cause so much fear, so much concern. God says, go do this, but you live in such fear that it undermines your faith to the point that you don't go forward, you go backwards. You know, as a church, God's asking us to do something new, and it's a little bit scary. May we be encouraged. He has brought us this far. And in that new thing that God might be asking you to do, whether it's in a ministry or it's in work or in a relationship, have the courage to trust God. Because God wanted to give them a blessing and their fear robbed them. Now, a blessing doesn't necessarily mean a physical thing. It can be a spiritual blessing. It can be a ministry. It can be an outreach. But God had promised them. God had promised Abraham. And it was fulfillment of God's prophecy, God's desire. And they rebelled against God to the point, if you kept reading in this chapter, that God said to Moses, let me wipe them out and start something new with you. And Moses pleaded for the Israelites, pleaded with God. But Moses interceded. And so God said, let's go to Numbers 14 and verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word to Moses, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt, and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice. God had had enough. They would move forward, and then they would complain, if you read the story. And then God would bless them, do something miraculous, and they still wanted more. They were whiners. God had had enough. He had been with them through all the different challenges they had, and now he's wanting to move them forward and to bless them, and they rebel. Verse 22, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now all the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. He basically then, if we continue in that passage, God says, if you're 20 and over, for this group of people, you're going to go through the wilderness 40 years. You spied out the land for 40 days. So for 40 years, you're going to go through the wilderness. but you're not going to go through. The rest of them are not going to go through. Because they rejected God. Verse 29 says, from 20 years old and above are not going to see the promised land. They're not going to cross over into the promised land. They're going to go strive in the wilderness. They didn't want to receive God's blessing. It was going to cost them some challenges, and they were going to have some battles, but God was going to be with them. But they rejected God. Didn't trust God. So out to the wilderness they went for 40 years. And the 20-year-olds and older died off. They didn't get to see the promised land. Except for, verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. They remained alive. Because they had faith in the Lord. They even had to go against the society that they lived in. They had to go against the family they were part of. But they believed God to fulfill His promises. They remembered what God had done in the past. They remembered how God had helped them. And God was going to be with them. And so God sustained them. And as you know, Joshua replaced Moses in leading the people and taking the land. And so, what happened to Caleb? What happened to Caleb? In Joshua 14, we find out. In verses 1 through 15. It describes it. And at this time, we're going to look at verse 6. Caleb was 45 years old when they went spying. 40 years have passed. Caleb is 85 years old. In verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old, and when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10, and now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now if therefore give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim was there, and that the cities were great and fortified, it may be the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man through the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Caleb said, I want, give me that mountain. He wanted the mountain where the giants were. Caleb, who was 40 when they went spying, is now 85. And others disbelieved in what God wanted to do in their lives, delayed the blessing for Caleb. It delayed what God wanted to do for Caleb. It delayed what God wanted to do through Caleb. But in God's time, God sustained Caleb and gave him the energy, the longevity, the strength to be as he was 40 years before. Caleb didn't dwell in some valley. Caleb had courage and confidence in God. He wanted the mountain where the giants were. He didn't want to settle for some easy thing to take. He didn't want to settle for the lower layers. He wanted the hard mountain where the giants were, because his confidence was enough that the God who told him that way could do it 40 years ago was still with him, could still give him the strength, and that they could overcome the obstacles in their way with God's help, and God would still bring the blessing. So are you like the people of Israel at the time, who, even though God has done many things, come to that next obstacle and say, I can't do this. It's too much. And that your fear is eroding your faith, and you're stepping back, which what God is telling you to move forward into. And will you be like them and lose the blessing God has for your life? Lose that fellowship with God that he would like to have with you? Or are you like Caleb, and although other people's disbelief in God, other people's falling away from God, other people's disobedience to God has undermined what God wants to do through you, do you believe that he still will fulfill his promises to do the work he wants you to do to glory of him and to his ministry, and that he will sustain you in the strength that you once had to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, so that you might obtain that blessing that he has, a deeper, closer walk with God, fulfilling his will, and impacting a place? And are you like Caleb, not afraid of the mountain, not afraid of the giants, but willing, through your confidence in God, your faith in God, your obedience to God, and courage with God's help, to take the mountain, to overcome the obstacles, to take out the giants and move them along? We must take courage and not return to the bondage, not desire to return to the bondage of sin, not return to the bondage of fear, to move forward in the courage of God, that he is able. And he still is on the throne. He still sees you. And the promises that he's given to you and the things that he's told you, they will come to pass. So let us be encouraged in the fight that is before us, that God too will be faithful in our lives. So let us be like Caleb and say, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Not in yelling at God, say, hey, give me this mountain. But in obedience to God, say, I'm ready, God. Let's go. Let's take this mountain. In the courage and in the faith that he has for us, let's be standing together. Lord God, I pray that you would help us in our journeys, in our walk with you. For some, you have given us vision and insight and things that you desire, and some's disobedience or some's turning away has caused difficulty. In some, it might have been COVID that threw things out of sorts. As a church, we've had to change locations and many other things. But may we move forward in courage, knowing, God, that you can help us. And may we have the courage to be obedient to what you would have us to do, and that you would give us the strength beyond our years, as though we were still young or younger, to move forward, to accomplish the tasks, and bring glory to your name, to do the work that you've desired, to fulfill the vision that you cast. And may we not be dissuaded by those that would get in our way, but that we might take that mountain and that you might be pleased. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.